Welcome to episode 24 of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast, our last one of our season. I'm your co-host, Matt Kupferle, and as always, I'm joined by Matthew Davis. Matthew, what's good, my man?
Well, we're at the finish line, and we are coming down to the final stretch of the two-month baseball season. My partner, Zach Betancourt, and I are in contention for two main event titles, so we are hoping to be competitive and able to gain some ground this week. Other than that, I've been shifting my focus a little bit towards football as well. Hopefully, your league mates have completely done that, and they've become lackadaisical over the last couple weeks, and you're able to take advantage of this because it is still baseball season, and we want to be able to completely take advantage of that the entire way through, and don't be surprised if you're still able to gain a significant amount in standings just because the categories are so tight still and we're not used to the season ending in 2 months.
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster myself. I think I've talked about before, but I'm got a couple of online championship teams, and I've got one that's in contention. It has certainly been, as Matthew mentioned, a roller coaster of a week. Certainly, you should not think that anything's over by any stretch of the imagination, because I'm seeing the same thing. So definitely, it's a big fab week that we need to pay attention to. And I think probably most important schedule and any news and notes that you see there.
Yeah, so before diving into the schedule, I wanted to bring up a point of emphasis this week, and that's your budget allocation first and foremost. It doesn't matter if you have $250 left or $6 or $45. You're going to make sure that you spend every single penny this week, and you need to start by setting your transaction and looking at your lineup and seeing what you have, and then you need to go into your league standings to see where you can gain ground and where you can lose ground. If, for example, in saves, if the next person below you is 2 to 3 saves shy of you, and the person above you is only they're also 2 to 3 saves above you, and you're kind of in this middle ground right now, you're likely not going to be able to lose ground or a point in the standings or gain a point in the standings for saves. So if something like that has occurred, you need to be aware of that, and you likely should probably sit your relievers this week in that instance and possibly roll out as many starters as possible, because the wins and the strikeouts are likely more viable in regards to gaining ground this week. So that's kind of something I want to attack on the pitching side, just being conscious of what I need. If it's saves and if I'm real close and tight in ratios, then maybe I scale back my starting pitching. I'm more conscious of matchups and I don't act as desperate when it comes to the two start pitchers. There is a ton of two start pitchers that are available in 15 team and 12 teams this week. It's going to be really interesting to see how teams go about attacking that, because there is significant ground to be made in wins and strikeouts, and there are a lot of those guys available in regards to volume for pitching. On the other side with hitting, it comes down to volume each and every week. Be aware of where you're at in stolen bases and home runs. So that's your power category and your speed category. If you're kind of in a similar situation in regards to saves with stolen bases, it's going to be harder to make up those stolen bases over home runs. If you're in that situation, then maybe you scale back some of your speedsters and you're not looking to add or start a Shogo Akiyama or somebody like that. You might be looking to add a guy like Jay Bruce or somebody that has a little bit more power or pop to them that's going to provide the RBIs or the home runs this week. That's basically what we're going to be looking to do. And then going into the schedule, there's 5 teams that get 8 games. Those are the Brewers, Cardinals, Giants, Nationals, and Rockies. And there's only one team with 5 games, and that's the Minnesota Twins. So unfortunately for the Twins, they're only going to have 2 games the first half of the week. Be aware of that when setting your lineups and if adding somebody, because if there is somebody that is comparable and they're playing 4 games, then you might have to sit a big name player on the Bomba squad and go with somebody else that has twice as many games this week. Then on top of all that, the cherry on top is the wild card situation that is still unknown on Monday. And Matt, I'm going to let you talk about that.
Yeah, so we learned, I think, late this week, Matthew, if I misspeak here, keep me honest, that there's a decent chance the Cardinals and the Tigers will play on Monday. And the reason for that, obviously, is that the Cardinals look to be in playoff contention. It'll need to be decided because they have so many games fewer than the Reds and the Brewers in that second place of that wild card standing. Now, there was some clarification provided in NFBC-style leagues, and make sure you check your league rules. Specific to our NFBC leagues, there will not be a fab run next Sunday. You will be playing with your rosters that you've got after today, but those statistics will count. I think 2 years ago, the same situation occurred, Matthew, where maybe the Dodgers and a Walker Buehler start swung some leagues on the Monday. That was actually maybe a play-in game or a split game. So I think that's important. I think you want to hold that hammer. I think the obvious guys, you know, the big names on the Cardinals are all going to be owned. What I would actually peek at, Matthew, is Tigers. Maybe some of those fringe players that could be on your waiver wire, like a Willie Castro, Heimer Candelario, or and others. A decent chance that a lot of those guys are owned. But if it's me and actually I'm in this situation, those are guys I'm specifically looking at to make sure that I utilize my bench fully as we go through the bidding process, and that if push comes to shove and they do play those games and I'm in a tight race, you better believe from a volume perspective, I'm playing all those guys. What are your thoughts?
Yep. The Cardinals have 8 games this week. And if any of those guys are available in 12 teams, I know that Tyler O'Neill is available in less than about 50%. Matt Carpenter's been on and off the waiver wire as well. Anybody. I mentioned going to free agents and then sifting through team. You can do that with the St. Louis Cardinals and then do that with the Detroit Tigers as well. And then if it comes close to it in regards to setting your preference, maybe you nudge those guys up just a tiny bit for that additional game. Okay. You mentioned the Walker Buehler impact that he had. I think people, or I do know people, were also sweating. The Dodgers were playing the Brewers, I believe. And that people were sweating that – or no, it wasn't the Dodgers and Brewers. It was the Brewers and I can't remember who they were playing. But the Dodgers were – the people were sweating the Christian Yelich. And he had like 3 hits. And that was, you know, that was his MVP candidate year last year. And it was stressing a lot of fucking people out with that additional game last year. And you mentioned that there's no fab. There's no way for you to correct that. There's people that are okay with it. There's people that absolutely hate it, but it is what it is. It's just something that has to be, you know, it's part of the game. And fab doesn't run on, it runs, we run it Sunday night. And so if Monday there's games to be played, there's no reason there's not in the rules that say that we're going to have an additional fab for anybody. And nobody played under those circumstances. The NFBC does a great job of pivoting and correcting themselves if something, you know, if a fork's thrown at them in the road. Greg and Tom and Derek Buchar do just a fantastic job. So I'm okay with it. You know, play ball and sack the fuck up, man up and or woman up and figure out a way to take advantage of it and find the edge, because somebody will have an edge to it. And if you notice that they take advantage of it and they slightly beat you out, then it's your own fault and it's your own doing for not being awake. You talked about Willie Castro. He's still available in less than 50% of leagues. His teammate that I've liked all year long that was on the IL is now called back up. His ownership was too high, but then when he was put on the IL, that's Nico Goodrum. He has multi-position eligibility. He's now back in that Detroit Tigers lineup, and they have that potential Monday game. That late season hammer, we should call it. Cedric Mullins, he's gotten at least a stolen base once a week for the last 5 or 6 weeks. Austin Hayes is off the IL, and he's back smashing for the Orioles. I believe he had 2 home runs this previous week. Josh Fuentes has seemed to have taken the job from Daniel Murphy. In Colorado, it doesn't seem like Murphy's getting a lot of the burn. Fuentes has played pretty much every single day this last week. The Rockies do get 7 games this upcoming week, but they get the 8, but they don't have any of them being played at home. I still have some interest there if he is going to be playing every single day with 8 games. And then one last person I'd touch on if he still is available, and that's Jared Walsh. He's just been crushing, hitting right in front of Mike Trout. Is there anybody that I did not mention that you would like to quickly gloss over? Nope. Do you have interest in Carter Kieboom? No? Okay.
Yes. No. Okay. But I will very nerdily add, Matthew, it was Dodgers Rockies that played the extra game. Walker Buehler had a no-hitter into the sixth inning, which probably tilted a bunch of people who had him, and which couldn't even be more fucking tilting. Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story homered with two outs in the ninth off Kenley Jansen. So that could have been – the Dodgers still won 5-2, but can you imagine being that close in a league and those home runs potentially swinging in game 163? And I hate to break it to you folks, but in the 60 game sprint, as you're aware, any of that volume is going to be massively important. So do not sleep on this game. Be aware of what's going on. It could win you your league, could move you up in an overall spot. Definitely pay attention to it. So
why were the Dodgers playing an extra game?
It says that they hosted the tiebreaker game in the Rockies because they were tied 91-71 for the division championship in the NL West.
What?
So they had to play in order to determine who was the wild card winner and who was the division winner.
So the Dodgers – see, I don't even remember for this far last year. I thought the Dodgers –
2 years ago. 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Okay, okay. So last year was the Kristen Yelich.
Yeah, because the Cubs and – you were correct, though, Matthew. The Cubs and Brewers also tied for first place in the NL Central and also played a tiebreaker game that day. So there were two tiebreaker games on the Monday after the regular season. There were two game 163s.
Okay, there we go.
So even crazier that we had to predict potentially that year four teams that had players going on the extra day. So you're probably bring some Christian Yelich goodness because that was his MVP year. So
okay. Yeah. Are you ready to Roman Quinn? He's off the IL. If you need speed, he's another guy. So, but again, be very conscious of what you need. If you're real close, if you're only getting like 6 or 7 points in stolen bases, but the team that has 11 points is only two stolen bases or one stolen base ahead of you, I would be pounding stolen bases. Those are like worth three home runs. So
Stolen bases that I'm seeing, Matthew, those are swinging categories still by in an overall setting by 10 to 20 points right now at this point for a lot of teams. So definitely there's some volume that's worthwhile and paying attention.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to pitchers. Is there anybody that you want to bring up off the top of your head?
Well, yeah, as I look through that list, the name that is honestly one of the more surprising ones for me is Keegan Aiken of the Orioles. That dude's got some nasty stuff and generating a ton of swings and misses. He's certainly a gamble. I think, Matthew, you mentioned at the beginning, or maybe it was pre-show as we were talking, that you get into this week, there's going to be a fine line that you need to balance between do you want to maintain or preserve what your ratios look like and who do you want to take a dart throw on. Keegan Aiken is whiffing a ton of dudes. So if you're in a spot where you need to make up some ground, maybe on a win, maybe with some strikeouts, I think he could be your guy. He looks outstanding, and I'm really actually excited to see what he can do with a full 2021 season, assuming he gets a rotation spot. The other one that sticks out for me is Josh Fleming. I've watched him actually pitch a couple of times. Very impressed with the stuff. I think he came in after Pete Fairbanks in a game this week and was really effective, and I think if the Rays are going to go back to that setup – that puts him in a great spot to earn a win, and wins are such a hard category to chase. Those are the two that stick out for me. The only one that's on your list, that Matthew, that I'm probably staying away from is Cole Hamels. I think Cole Hamels is going to pitch. I think the Braves need him to pitch. I'm just always nervous about starting it off an arm that has effectively – he hasn't been throwing all year. I mean, I'm sure he's been playing catch and getting ready for the season, but those guys coming off the IL make me very nervous. And I didn't see anything in his first outing that made me super excited to roster or start Cole Hamels.
It's nice that Keegan Aiken has two starts. On paper, it's going to look like they are tough starts. Those are going to be going against the Boston Red Sox and the Toronto Blue Jays, I believe, if I'm correct. I'm trying to say that off the top of my head right now. Yeah, it is against the Red Sox and the Toronto Blue Jays. And then the other person, Josh Fleming, he also has a two-step as well, and that's at the Mets and versus the Phillies. In regards to Aiken, he comes in with a massive 31.3 strikeout rate. He does have a concerning walk rate. It's at 11.3, and that equals an even 20% K-minus walk rate. His Sierra and FIP are kind of decent and have me intrigued for being a Baltimore Orioles pitcher, and his Sierra is at 3.90 and his xFIP's at 4.08. All of that's intriguing. He's a four pitch mix pitcher, fastball, slider, curve, changeup, 13.8% swinging strike rate, which is also really nice. I do like him. The matchup might scare people away, but everyone also that's going to be desperate for volume is going to see anybody that is a two-start pitcher, and they might throw them out there this week. And we have other guys in similar situations: Chase Anderson, Drew Smyly, Johan Oviedo, Jordan Lyles, Jose Urania, JT Brubaker, Kyle Gibson. All of those guys are about 50% or under in 15-team fantasy baseball leagues, and so all of these guys are going to be available in your 12-team leagues. If you need the volume, if you need the strikeouts, if you need the wins, figure out a way to prioritize them, and I would throw bids in on all of them. And if you have guys that are fringe starters that, you know, Garrett Richards, like he threw one inning last night on Saturday night, I'd be cutting him for any of these guys. I just think that these guys are going to be a little bit more viable with their volume this week, and especially with the ratios being really hard to fluctuate or change in the last week of the season. If you're not extremely, extremely tight somewhere in ratios, I would be trying to go all in on volume this week. And there's one guy, though, that I do like if you are desperate for saves and need them, and that's Stephen Crichton of the Arizona Diamondbacks. We talked about Kevin Ginkle a couple of weeks ago, but it looks like Crichton doesn't look like it. It is Crichton. That's the guy that's closing there in Arizona, and he's done quite a fine job. That's the guy that I would look to add if you do need saves. Is there anybody else before moving on, or anything you want to touch on these two-step guys?
I don't think so, Matthew.
Okay.
I think you hit the high-level points of guys that I'm targeting. It's obviously pretty thin at this point, so I think we can move on to 12-teamers.
Okay. There's not many other people in the Fab article this week, and it's free at ftnfantasy.com. Anybody that you see available in the 15 team, you can kind of just go on. They're going to be available in the 12 team. So if you see them in the 15 team and they perk your interest in the 12 team, act as if they're on that list as well. Just kind of drag and drop. Carson Kelly would be the catcher preference. I know that Dalton Varsho was the one that was getting added everywhere, and people were cutting Carson Kelly. However, Dalton Varsho is playing center field, and he's taken that time away from Tim LeCastro. Carson Kelly's kind of woken up a little bit. I know that people were high on him coming into the season. I think that he can be viable at the catcher position if you had like Cam Gallagher now that Salvador Perez is back, or a catcher that has gotten injured. This previous week, another person that's been doing well with Baltimore, even though his batting average and contact simmered off a little bit, that's DJ Stewart. Eric Hosmer's off the IL. It'll be interesting to see if he just gets plugged in and plays all of the games this week for them, being that they are in contention to fight for that like two or three seed in the NL. I would assume so. And his teammate Jerickson Profar, we've talked about him for multiple weeks. I don't think there's been a week in the last like month Profar hasn't hit well over 300. He's chipped in a couple stolen bases along the way. Gregory Polanco has shown a little bit of power and speed. Mauricio Dubon's now finally getting that playing time in San Francisco, and the Giants are one of those teams that get eight games this week, so he's a murder by volume play. For me, Tyler O'Neill also gets the eight games for the St. Louis Cardinals, and he's got the combo meal upside with the home run speed ability. And then Shogo Akiyama, if you're just nothing but speed, need nothing but speed, and you're real tight there for stolen bases. He didn't get any this last week, but that plate discipline and the on-base percentages and the batting average has all just continued to trend in the right direction and go up and stay up for Shogo Akiyama over the last month. That would be another guy that I look to add if you do need speed. Is there anybody that you want to dig in a little bit deeper here before going into a couple of these starting pitchers for 12-team leagues?
No, I'll just add, it's interesting, Matthew, because I own Yoshi Tsutsugo, and we really struggled with the Rays this week. They were a team that we had significant ownership to because of the Baltimore series, and that'll be interesting to see if Tsutsugo plays today. They should be facing John Means, who's a lefty in Baltimore. So I would imagine Manny Margot gets a start, but that team is – it's frustrating as a fantasy owner to own because you never know what's going to happen. And the example I can give As Manny Margot has been batting fifth many times recently, which kind of shocks me against right-handed pitching. So I think these are great names. You're absolutely right on Jerks and Profar. Seems like he's contributing. Eric Hosmer's back, which is interesting. I think that essentially makes Mitch Moreland an automatic cut, maybe in a 15-teamer if you're desperate. You need to start him. But no, I think all those guys are good, and we can move on to those pitchers.
Yeah, and one of them was he just pitched yesterday, and that's J.A. Happ. He went against the Boston Red Sox, 8 innings, no earned runs, only 4 hits allowed, no walks, 9 strikeouts with the win. In Happ's last 3 outings, he's only allowed a combined total of 3 earned runs while racking up 24 strikeouts, which is just absolutely amazing. I would like to add him. He doesn't have 2 starts. But if he is available, that's somebody that I would like to add. It is a tough matchup against the White Sox for his next start. I'm sorry, actually, they get 4 games against the – no, it's against the Toronto Blue Jays. And so they get 4 games against them. So he's going to be going on Thursday at Toronto, or in Buffalo, I should say. I don't mind him whatsoever. Kyle Freeland, he gets 2 steps, and he gets at – he's kind of a yo-yo effect in the free agency. When he's away from Coors, people want to add him, and then he pitches at Coors and people cut him, and he's a fringe 2-step. If one starts at Coors, one's away from Coors. Both of his starts this week are coming on the road, and the first one is coming against the San Francisco Giants. The second is going to be coming against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Both favorable pitching parks, massive upgrades away from Coors Field for Kyle Freeland. Lance McCullers, we saw come off the IL last week. A lot of people dropped him. They were concerned he might not pitch again this season. He looked phenomenal in his last outing. He pitched against the Houston Texans, and the Houston Texans, look, I'm in football mode, dude. You didn't even catch that. He pitched against the Texas Rangers, and he did. He looked absolutely amazing. He pitched as if how I projected and graded him out coming into the season. The walk rate was at 8.6% before this, and I think that's not good enough for me, to be honest. And the strikeout rate wasn't high enough, and so both of those don't bode well. He didn't walk anybody in his last outing. He looked really sharp with all of his breaking pitches, and his strikeout rate was 34.8%. I'm very, very interested to see how this goes for Lance McCullers in his last couple of outings. So he gets his first start is at Seattle, and then his last start is at Texas. If he can replicate what he just did against the Texas Rangers, this dude can – I don't want to say a league winner because ratios are real hard to come by and everything's so tight, but, man – I don't know. He can burn you as well. He's burned me all year in a main event. I was wrong about him. I drafted him in the 9th round, and I saw people pushing him up into the 8th round, which just got a little too rich for me. I would be wanting all the Lance McCullers this week against the Mariners and the Rangers. And then the last person that we've seen turn a corner and actually look better than his teammate, and he was costing quite a bit less in free agency for the Detroit Tigers, and that's Tarik Skubal. His teammate Casey Mize was the one that got graded out and projected as the one to get there. But Skubal's last start, he showed 8 strikeouts, only 2 earned runs in 6 innings, which is it's very, very encouraging for me to see somebody young like that be able to go 6 innings and rack up that many strikeouts. His first start seemingly again is against the Minnesota Twins. It feels like every single start for him has come against the Twins. It's only been 2 of them, but I would be willing to take a gamble on that because his last start comes against the Kansas City Royals if he does get those 2 steps, which I believe he will, and that's going to be their last game of the season. At the Royals, that's who he just pitched against was the Royals, and he looked really well, and I just read off that line. I'm very interested in Tarik Skubal as well. So if any of these guys are available, those 4 starting pitchers, can you rank them for me real quick, Matt, before we move on to the last the 2-start segment real quick? There a preference for you? Are you in on all of them? Are you off of any of them? How are you looking to attack these in your online championships if they're available?
I'm probably ranking J.A. Happ first. I've been staring at him for a while. I like the fact that he's been performing at a high level. The only concern I have is that Buffalo Stadium scares me. there's a lot of runs being scored there. But overall, I think he's far and away for me the top option of the group. I would rank Kyle Freeland last solely because of the lack of strikeouts. And I would put McCullers and Skubal somewhere in that mix of 2-3. I'd probably rank them how you have them, but I can't necessarily quibble with the order. Skubal's got just as much strikeout upside as McCullers does, in my opinion. And the Tigers are going to roll him out there. The question I was going to have for you, Matthew, as you're looking at these starters and as you look at your aces for the week, right, you've got a lot of guys that are likely lined up for Tuesday or Wednesday starts in the big names. They're obviously not coming back and throwing Sunday in a full starting capacity. The AL playoffs start on Tuesday. The NL playoffs start on Wednesday. So you could get, you know, if you're a Shane Bieber owner who he starts on Tuesday, I think he'll likely throw 80 to 100 pitches in his Tuesday start, but he obviously won't come back and throw Sunday. If he does, it'll be a throw day and he may throw an inning or two. How are you looking at those aces, Matthew? And are you concerned at all with any of those guys that they won't get their full workload? Is there any reason that you wouldn't start an ace this week because of workload?
No, especially Shane Bieber's lined up for two starts. He's going to get one, and I'm not sitting him. If you're in on J.A. Happ, you're definitely not going to be sitting Shane Bieber. One thing I do want to mention in regards to theory and fab this weekend, I talked about at the beginning of the segment spending all your money. That's doesn't matter if you have $1,000 full of your budget still for whatever reason, $600, $2, $50, whatever in between. It does not matter. Figure out your preferences and figure out your allocations and how you want to divide those up and then go all in. So, for example, if you only have $100 to keep it simple on a team and you're looking to add four players, well, you could do simple math and say, okay, I'm going to go $25 each person, 25, 25, 25. Well, let's say you're really, really desperate for two start pitchers, but you only have like two spots that you want to roster these two start pitchers. Well, maybe you go, you know, 40% and 40% for these two start pitchers and you go $40, $40. And then for the two hitters that you look to add, you go $10 and $10. And that goes the same for all of your contingency bids this week. Every person below them, I don't care if you would never spend more than $1 on one of these person, on one of these hitters, it just do it. You spend $10 on each one all the way down to ensure that you're going to get somebody. If you're thinking about, if you're going to be using them, you have to spend all of your money no matter what. Just make sure that you're doing it in a sharp manner to where you're trying to navigate your most you're trying to increase your chances of getting the guys that you need the most. So being able to, you know, figure out how to divide your allocations and strategically put those in order is going to be huge this week. And you'll see which teams and which players in your leagues and which sharp players. Oh, wow. Look at all these two steps that he added for X amount of dollars and a couple of hitters for a dollar. And, you know, some of these hitters might be on teams that are playing eight games or on Monday, like the Cardinals. Do not go to sleep at the wheel this week and be very, very conscious of how you manage your fab, regardless of how much money you have left, because it is going to come into play.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's a lot of these guys that are interesting, and you better believe the other owners in your league are going to try to take advantage or make sure that, you know, if you're not paying attention, they certainly are. So that's a great call out for sure.
All right. Two start pitchers. This is it.
Yeah,
I wanted to mention a couple that I think could destroy you, help you win your league. I don't like to phrase it that way because starting pitcher really, you know, it's just so late in the season. It's hard to say one pitcher is going to be doing this. But let's just say that it does come down to which it is coming down to the last week. And some of these categories are extremely close. There's some guys that I'm really excited about if I have any exposure to. That's Germán Márquez. Both of his starts come on the road, similar to his teammate Kyle Freeland. That's at San Francisco, at Arizona. I have to roll out in two of my main events, Frankie Montas. He's at Los Angeles Dodgers, which scares me, and he's versus Seattle. And any matchup kind of scares me right now, but it looks like he's kind of written the ship a little bit, and the back injury doesn't seem to be too much of an issue. It'll be interesting to see if Dustin May does get his two starts against the A's and the Angels. He's been kind of fun to own and frustrating to own. I know that you have some Brandon Woodruff. I'm sure that you're excited to see what he's going to do at Cincinnati, at St. Louis. There's guys that I just, even with the two starts, I talk about the volume. If ratios are just for whatever reason already shot to shit and you're not gaining any ground, I guess you could throw a dart at Austin Voth, but I don't like him. I'm not a fan. So those are kind of the guys. Johan Oviedo is kind of in the middling ground there too. You mentioned Josh Fleming earlier. The Lance McCullers love for me is real, so I'll be going back there. Nate Eovaldi was cut and then came back and looked amazing against the Miami Marlins. Let's hope that he can keep that up for two steps against the Baltimore Orioles and then the Atlanta Braves. Is there anybody else, one last time, that you want to mention at the two starts that intrigues you before closing out?
No, I think you covered them all, Matthew. You know, it's just going to be really interesting as you think about where you're willing to take risk and lock things in and where you want to maybe steer away or steer into that skid. So I think you covered everybody. Maybe the only one that you didn't mention is Brady Singer has looked really good lately, and I like those starts. He could be worth the dart throw for me. He's looked outstanding recently. He would maybe be another one that I would consider. Certainly, again, I've owned Brady Singer a couple times this year. That certainly also does not come without risk. But, man, those two starts look incredible. St. Louis is really struggling at the dish. And then the Tigers are striking out at almost a 30% clip overall. So they can certainly, you know, bang the ball around, but they can also swing and miss a ton. So that is one that I would be very, very curious to see how things go. But I mean, he's got 14 scoreless innings in a row. I certainly don't anticipate, you know, that happening in the future, but dude is pretty legit in my opinion. So.
Yeah, I know people are, they love him. They hate him. He's 82% owned in the NFBC RotoWire Online Championship. 18% of leagues he is still available. And you mentioned those scoreless innings. His last two outings, 14 innings. Zero earned runs with 16 strikeouts. It's very impressive. And he does get two steps. So if he is available, that's another guy that you would look to add. He is not written in the article or wasn't discussed initially because of the ownership.
Sure.
But
no,
definitely. Good call. Good call there. Matt, good luck to you and Brian Vogel this last week of the season. I know that you guys are scratching and clawing in contention for overall in the RotoWire Online Championship, which is just an amazing feat overall, regardless of where you finish this season. That is no simple task, especially with all of the curveballs and the Rubik's Cube that we've had to figure out this season. It's been an insane season. So good luck to you guys. I'll be rooting you guys on and asking the both of you how it's going this season, and I'll be keeping an eye on the overall standings myself for you guys.
Appreciate
it. Is there
it.
Anything else that totally. I'm proud of you guys. Is there anything else that you guys want to plug? Not you guys. Sorry, Brian. But you yourself, Matt, is there anything that you want to plug before we get out of here?
My waiver wire article comes out shortly for baseball over at NumberFire, and then I'm actually doing week two transactions for NumberFire for football. So those are both interesting reads. The football one's going to be fun, as I joked with you pre-show. I'm going to be taking my own advice, as I own Chris Godwin and Michael Thomas in a particular league. So I am looking at the waiver wire pretty hard for wide receivers. But I am going to be a psycho and analyzing box scores way too closely this week. So it's going to be a fun week.
Do not stress too much. I've been there, done that. I call this last week of the season ulcer season. It can get pretty stressful. Just know that you do this for fun, first and foremost. You have a happy, healthy family. And you guys aren't starving for food, so this is all for fun in general, and just don't stress too much. And as I say that, I'll be freaking the fuck out all week. We will be back at some point. We'll think of something creative and unique to do for each episode that we put together in the off season. I know that once winter and all of that stuff and free agency and signings like that start to roll, we'll do some fun podcasts and free agency signings, and we can discuss projections and rankings and tiers, and we'll do all of that fun stuff that we actually didn't get to do our first season together because this season started so abruptly and we got together in a quick manner. And I had a lot of fun this first season. Yeah. We're going to keep it going through the winter. It won't be it likely won't be twice a week just because football does clog a lot of people's minds and feeds right now. But come wintertime around December, Matt and I will be back, and we'll find a unique and creative, fun way to bring each episode to you guys. And we'll always ask questions on Twitter, and we love interacting on Twitter. My DMs are always open, so please feel free to, if you don't feel like publicly tweeting me or asking a question because you're embarrassed to for whatever reason, then always feel free to DM me. I love helping people out. I love answering questions, and I love interacting with people. I greatly appreciate everybody listening. So none of this would have been done without you, Matt. You helped quite a bit along the way. You've done most of the heavy lifting for us, so I thank you for that as well. And
sure, it's been
I
fun.
Look forward to talking in the off season this winter, and hopefully we made some money along the way. So
yeah.
If you're still listening, thank you guys so much, and we will be back this winter.
Sounds good. Thanks, Matthew.